This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
It's a story, Wallahu A'lam, when the scientist said in a class that you Muslims claim that the Quran has all the answers. And he was bold. So he says, where's the answer as to why there's no hair on my head? So the Muslim student pulled this ayah out from the 8th juz. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ The cultivated land يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّ The fruits grow from it with the permission of Allah. وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ And the rotten one لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدًا Nothing comes out from it except nothing. Because the brain is rotten in you, you deny Allah, and this is how you speak about the Quran, that's why. Look at the connection between Dhariyat and At-Tul. Remember I said, they're next to each other, revealed at two different times, in the Mus'haf together. But subhanAllah, you finish Dhariyat, you come to At-Tur, and these lessons are being consolidated for you. Whilst you are proudly sporting your arrogance, Allah says, فَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَعْبُدُوا So prostrate to Allah and worship Him. And the Prophet falls down into prostration. And the jinn fall down into prostration. And the Quraysh fall down into prostration. SubhanAllah, imagine the scene. Why wouldn't you when words come like this? Strike after strike after strike after strike. No man before you has written poetry like this. No man before you has come with a speech like this. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits us. And to bless us to benefit from that which He has taught us. And we ask Allah to increase us in knowledge and action. Ameen. تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال. May Allah accept our deeds. Ameen ya Rabb. Today we completed night number. Well, we haven't completed it yet. We just started. Night number 28. Night number 28 or 29? Actually, I'm asking, yani. I don't know. I'm just testing, making sure that we are all on the same page in terms of the month of Ramadan. Nobody started a day before or a day after. In this jama'ah, of course. So today was the 28th night. And obviously you have a tip and a hint. And that is based on the juz that is being recited by the imams. We are one juz ahead. So today we completed the 29th juz, which means tomorrow we will complete the 30th juz. And we will have the Khatm al-Quran. But it doesn't mean Ramadan is over tomorrow, guys. I'm just letting you know. Because today, the Imam announced everyone stand on the line, not on the stickers. I said, why? He goes, no, stickers are only for 27th night and the day of Eid. I'm learning, subhanAllah. This is a new one. Well, we have good thoughts. The brothers are praying in different masajid. 27th night, they wanted the, mashallah, to be here because of the Imams, mashallah, tabarakAllah. Allah has blessed them with a beautiful voice and a beautiful ada. Other than that, alhamdulillah, they have prayed, but elsewhere. Continuing on from where we left off, which surah did we stop at yesterday? Who remembers? Al-Dhariyat. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, I had two young boys come see me, three actually. One by the name of Abshir. Where are you, Abshir? Is Abshir here or has he left? Abshir, has he left? SubhanAllah, I presumed he was going to sit definitely. He's upstairs, mashallah. He listens from upstairs. Allah bless him. Mashallah, tabarakallah. He came to me just now and he says, Wallahi Shaykh, I've been reciting Surah Qaf and Dhariyat regularly. And I never knew what it meant until last night. I never knew the impact of what I was reciting until last night, subhanallah. Wallahi, he made my day and he made my night. Just with that statement. SubhanAllah, may Allah accept from him, accept from us, and accept from all our young, mashallah. We see them sitting attentively, mashallah, tabarakallah. I don't have balloons here. That's the program that comes after mine. We don't have the balloons and the sweets and everything else, but mashallah, they sit and they are paying attention. This is a sign that they're paying attention. They're not just sitting because their fathers have made them sit. Right, young man? You're paying attention. Yeah, he is, mashallah. Definitely. Definitely. Okay. So today, to the young audience, I'm speaking to the young before the adults. And we should be. We are going to begin with Surah At-Tur. Surah At-Tur. Because that's the Surah after Al-Dhariyat. And Surah At-Tur is another Meccan Surah. Revealed before Hijrah. and it consists of 49 verses, 49 ayat. And again, there is the synergy between At-Tur and the surah before it. And we try and highlight this every night as we go through the different ajza and the different surahs for us to further appreciate the Quran. That even though in a surah there's so much going on, it is not so much going on at the expense of the reader and the learner and the seeker. And then if we look at these surahs in the context of a portion of the Quran or a juz, because historically the Quran was sectionized into 30 ajza to aid us finishing the Quran once every month. But even after this historical development, when we look at how the surahs are connected or the synergy that exists between them, we see, subhanallah, that a seeker, a reader, a learner, in their journey reading a juz every day, they're also not lost. The message is not lost on them. That they will go, beginning with a structure, they will travel through a structure, and they will end upon a structure. And when they come out at the end of their reading, there will be key takeaways that they will walk away with from each surah and the juz itself, because of the connectivity, the synergy between, subhanallah, the different chapters and their order as we have them in the Mus'haf. And this is one of the evidences for the scholars who say that not only are the words in the Quran decreed by Allah in terms of the order, and not only are the verses in the Quran decreed by Allah in terms of the order, but also the surahs in the Quran, as we have it in our Mus'haf between two covers, it also has been decreed by Allah in its order. Because this synergy is just so phenomenal. It couldn't be a case whereby a people or a group came together and said, let us put these surahs in these orders, which are different to the order of revelation, the longest at the beginning, as we took a sab'at tiwal at the beginning of Ramadan, and then it moved on to the set of surahs that are lesser in terms of length, and as we closing in onto the 30th juz, we see the reduction every night. That said, those scholars who said that the order of the Quran as we have it right now, and this is the second view, is based on the consensus of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as per the project of Zayd ibn Thabit, when appointed by Abu Bakr and then Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhum ajma'in, that this order was based on a consensus, and that consensus is an inspired consensus by Allah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this ummah will never reach a consensus on any form of misguidance. That Allah has protected this ummah from coming together unanimously on something that is considered misguidance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will always inspire someone within the ummah to get up and oppose. There won't be an ijma', subhanallah. And famously, if we take a historical event, and I digress, but just for us to understand this particular point before we progress, Imam Ahmad, may Allah's mercy be upon him, he is known as Imam Ahl Sunnah. All the Imams are from the Sunnah. But why was this title given to him? Because he stood as a lone voice, or a recognized lone voice. There were other voices, but not prominent. A recognized lone voice at a time when it could be deduced that a people of a time have agreed that this Quran isn't the word of Allah but something created. Imam Ahmad refused to accept this, and he was punished for this. Famously imprisoned and lashed and beaten. He went through a trial, it's called a mihna. And because of this, it was impossible for any generation thereafter to say there's an ijma', because Imam Ahmad, he didn't agree to this. And who is he as an imam? As if this haqq was preserved by a recognized voice antagonizing the status quo. And they say this is God inspired. Because had he remained silent at a time when many scholars were taking the concession, because if you didn't go with the status quo, you were threatened with jail and beatings. So scholars took the concession that if you fear, you say what pleases the person as long as you don't believe it in your heart. But what would happen to a people who were not there at the time, who didn't know these scholars who were taking the concession? that they said what they said to avert harm, but in their heart they didn't believe it. It could have ended up being understood as if a concession, or sorry, a consensus had taken place. So Imam Ahmad's position is far greater than just what we read, really, in terms of preserving of an identity. His establishment, the position that he took, the patience that he endured, was everlasting. And that's what they call him, Imam Ahl Sunnah. Coming back to Surah At-Tur, what is the suitability between this surah and the surah before it? Well, firstly, they're both Makkah. So they share the common themes, which means when you finish the last surah, Al-Dhariyat, and you go into At-Tur, you're going to get a consolidation. You're not going to be distracted, you will get a consolidation. Number one. Number two, have you noticed that the beginning of Al-Dhariyat and the beginning of Surah At-Tur, of Surah At-Tur, they're very similar? If you look at the beginning of Surah Al-Dhariyat, Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتِ وَعُيُونَ. I recited this to you yesterday. Allah tells us about the reality of the people of Jannah. That indeed the righteous will be amongst gardens and springs. This is Allah's promise. Remember, these are the words of Allah. This is the reality. This is how it is. And in Surah At-Tur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتِ وَنَعِيمٍ. That indeed the righteous will be in gardens and pleasure. Gardens and springs in Al-Dhariyat, gardens and pleasure in At-Tur. So can you see how the two surahs, they connected to each other, two different surahs. One surah is building for us an understanding of the na'im, of the gifts of Jannah. Springs are a gift. Pleasure is a gift. And we see this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this between the two surahs. Also, if you look at the end of both surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the situation of the disbelievers in the hereafter. In the end of the two surahs, Allah describes the end of the disbelievers. Now look at this. At the beginning of the two surahs, Allah teaches us about the reality of the people of Jannah, the end of the righteous people. At the end of the two surahs, subhanallah, even though they were revealed at two different times, yes, one era, the Meccan era, but two different times, we see Allah telling us at the end of both surahs about the end of the disbelievers and those who are not from the righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Dhariyat, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ يَوْمِهِمُ الَّذِي يُعَدُونَ. And woe to those who have disbelieved from their day, which they are promised, meaning the day of Qiyamah. In At-Tur, Allah says, أَمْ يُرِيدُونَ كَيْدًا فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا هُمُ الْمَكِيدُونَ. Or do they, meaning the disbelievers, intend some plan, some genius plan? But those who disbelieve, they are the object of a plan. They're planning, but they don't realize they are the object of a plan. Their end has already been planned, subhanallah. And it's an end of doom and gloom, and hellfire, and burning, and screaming, and intestines being cut open with boiling, scaling water. Pus, subhanallah. May Allah save us. Ameen. Then we see both surahs beginning with a qasam, these oaths. And I told you that only Allah can take an oath by other than Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and I may have not shared with you this narration, that whoever takes an oath in anything other than Allah, then you have practiced disbelief or shirk. And sometimes we see this amongst our young because of society. I swear by my mother, I swear by my father, I swear on my grandmother's grave, we hear this. No, this is not allowed in Islam. In Islam, we only swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we only take an oath in Allah in matters that are serious. Not in small things, everything. Wallahi, wallahi, I ate the sweet. Wallahi, I didn't eat the sweet. Ya akhi. Huh? MashaAllah. Did you eat the sweet? He did. He got up straight away. Yeah? So I had to ask him. But he didn't say, wallah. He just said, yeah, I did eat the sweet. No problem. As long as you ate it after Maghrib, huh? Not before Maghrib. Yeah, if I ask you, did you eat it before Maghrib? Wallahi, I didn't eat it before Maghrib. Now you're allowed because fasting is a serious matter. But you get the idea, young boys and young girls. So we only take an oath by Allah. But Allah can take an oath by what He wants because He created everything. When He takes an oath by the sun, wa shams, Allah is saying, and by the Son, meaning the one who created the Son. Meaning Allah is taking an oath by Himself when He takes an oath by His creation. This is why He does it throughout the Quran. And through it, He teaches us the importance of these creations of His. And He brings honor to them. And it's a means of you and I pondering that these objects that are greater than us in size, in terms of their being and their existence, if Allah created them, then what did Allah do when it comes to you? And if Allah controls them, then how can you think you will not be controlled? Are you greater in size or the heavens? Heavens that exist above you without pillars that you can see, بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا, as Allah tells us in the Quran. Without any cracks. Who's a greater creation? أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلْ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do you not look at the camel and how it's been created? So we see the Quran pushing us, instigating, inspiring us to practice tafakkur, which is to ponder over the creation of Allah. And taking an oath by Allah's creation, when Allah does it, is a means for us to ponder as well. And it also draws our attention, and we will see this inshaAllah. Tayyib, Allah says, وَكِتَابٍ مَسْطُورٍ. He takes an oath by the kitab mastur, the book that is mastur, that is lined with writing in it. Meaning, a book that has a recording in it. And the scholars of tafsir say this either refers to al-lawh al-mahfuz, which is the preserved tablet that has the knowledge that Allah permitted to be on it from the beginning of time till the end. Because as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, Allah created the pen and He told the pen to write. And the pen said, what should I write, Ya Allah? And Allah said, write everything that will happen until the day of Qiyamah. Allah says, الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ, the one who taught by the pen. نُون وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ. We have a surah named after the pen. Subhanallah. Islam is all about education. The first word revealed was read. An instruction to be educated. And the tool of Islam is the pen. As we see in the first verses revealed, الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ, the pen. And Allah takes an oath by the pen. And Allah says, وَكِتَابٍ مَسْطُورٍ, the book that has the information inscribed on it. Some of the scholars have said this refers to al-lawh al-mahfuz. And others have said it refers to the books that are read, meaning the books that Allah revealed, like the tablets of Musa. That Allah revealed, by the way, on a mountain called Mount? Mount Tur. Surah At-Tur. When Allah takes an oath by this mountain, He's taking an oath by the mountain in which the Torah descended upon. And not only that, the mountain in which Allah spoke to Musa upon. So this is a notable mountain. So we see, subhanAllah, how the Quran references Musa in so many different ways. Na'am. Also, in both surahs, Allah tells the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ignore the Quraysh and their troublemaking and to focus on the da'wah and the new Muslims and teaching them and reminding them about Allah's revealed knowledge. And this is a lesson for all of us. Sometimes you're running a project and you will have people who have negative opinions, negative impressions. They're always out there to find the cracks amidst anything. And sometimes there's no cracks. They imagine cracks to be there. And over time, they tend to come across as if they're burning the management out. They're burning the people of the project out. Now, if you focus on that negativity, it's going to stop you from achieving something greater and something bigger. No doubt the Quraysh began as the da'wah began. The Prophet said, worship one Allah. Someone said, Abu Lahab, may you be cursed. Then as people started accepting Islam through the Prophet, Abu Bakr accepted. Then through Abu Bakr, many came into Islam and Abu Bakr was buying out slaves to free them from persecution. Immediately persecution began. Persecuting of senior Muslims, meaning Muslims from noble tribes, began later. And then we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, go to Habasha. And we know they were sanctioned and all this was happening, meaning it really turned on its head. At the beginning, no tribal member would dare lay harm on another tribal member. The law of order of the day was blood. That's all that matters. And there's poetry on this, by the way. If you go into the period, the poetry of the period of ignorance, this is documented. This is documented with eloquence. Imagine misguidance being documented with eloquence. And poets would document what we blatantly see as misguidance. How a tribe would support a tribe, even though they were wrong, and the wrong that they're in was as clear as the sun in the sky. This is documented. Irrespective of how clear the wrong is, we will support each other. Blood is blood. Subhanallah. But a time came where they turned on their blood because of this message. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing and saying, listen, yes, you have the propaganda of the Quraysh. Character assassination. That's what they're doing, O Prophet. Allah says, Allah knows, يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Allah knows your heart is hurting by what they say. Allah is telling His messenger. Allah knows your heart is feeling hard and hurt. You're a human being. Allah can see it, Ya Muhammad. You don't have to say it to Allah. نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Allah knows that your heart is narrowed because of what they say. The character assassination they lay on you. Allah knows it. Allah says in that verse, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Raise the name of your Lord in tasbih and be from the people who pray the salah. Just engage Allah in your salah. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. And worship your Lord until yaqeen comes. The certainty comes. What is the certainty? Death. That's what you do. Allah is teaching those in management, those in da'wah projects, da'is, du'at, teachers, and so on and so forth. Sometimes you're in an educational system. The system doesn't help you. The system is not supporting you. How much attention are you going to give to the negative? How much attention are you going to give to the negative feedback? How much attention are you going to give to criticism that's not constructive? Allah is telling the messenger, فَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِمَلُومٍ وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is in Surah Al-Dhariyat. In Surah Al-Tur, فَذَكِّرْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِكَاهِنٍ وَلَا مَجْنُونٍ فَذَرْهُمْ حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي فِيهِ يُصْعَقُونَ. Look at the connection between Dhariyat and Al-Tur. Remember I said they're next to each other, revealed at two different times, in the Mus'haf together. But subhanAllah, you finish Dariyat, you come to At-Tur, and these lessons are being consolidated for you. Just in case you didn't catch it, it's going to be consolidated. And if you missed it, it's been introduced to you. This is the Quran. But you have to read with that attentive eye and heart and mind. That the answer is in front of you, my dear committee member and chairman and executive. It's in front of you. Principal, teacher, whatever you be, whatever capacity you in. What does Allah say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Dhariyat? Leave them, O Muhammad, for you are not to be blamed. They blame you, but you're not blameworthy. It doesn't mean someone blames you that you're blameworthy. It doesn't mean someone says you've made a mistake and you're wrong, that you're wrong. People will have opinions, especially in a day and age where they have access to information above their pay grade, I'm sorry to say. Above their jurisdiction, their security clearance. This is the age we live in. Google, start reading. I remember doctors were complaining to me during COVID. During COVID with the whole vaccine, take the vaccine, don't take the vaccine. Doctors were complaining. They said, Ya akhi, subhanallah. Never seen a troublesome public debate you and question you. Because some were pro-vaccine and the anti-vaccines were throwing the pro-vaccine doctors under the bus. So I said, well, welcome to our lives. The doctors finally see what sheikhs go through. It's normal business for the mashayikh. Because you have Islam QA. Just Google, start reading. I'm a sheikh now in this matter. I have all the opinions floating in my head and some sources. So now I will debate the sheikh. I've studied this. I can know. I know Ibn Taymiyyah said this. I know this one said this. Brother, you just have general knowledge. Even if you read it, you're not qualified to speak about it. You're not qualified to self-diagnose yourself, my brother. Allah will question you on the day of Qiyamah. Allah made it easy for you. He said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. That's what He revealed. He didn't say, go start researching yourself and self-diagnose when you have access to a scholar. Like you self-diagnose your cancer treatment, yourself, doctors will be out of a job. We don't need the NHS. Why are we even complaining about the NHS services? Diagnose yourself, pick up the internet and sort yourself out. Allahumma musta'an. Let me not digress because it is a sticky point. But the main point here is, a time comes where you just stop focusing on the negative. Focus on the good thing that's going on and the important task at hand. You have new Muslims with you. The iman needs to grow. The iman needs to be established. They need to learn the prayer. Forget about the character assassination. Forget about the chaos. Forget about the noise. It's circumstantial. Of course, you can't block it out. It's there. But tawalla anhum ayyuha nabi, O Messenger of Allah, leave them, O Muhammad, for you are not blameworthy. Allah says, and remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believers. Meaning, teach. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, teach these new Muslims, teach the Sahaba. So one verse is saying, turn away from the negative. The other verse is saying, focus on what you need to be doing. Don't let the negative derail you. And we see this again in Surah At-Tur. Allah says, فَذَكِّرْ, remind, O Muhammad, for you are not by the favor of your Lord a soothsayer or a madman. They will call you a soothsayer. They will call you a madman. They will say you are on the bid'ah. They will say you are not upon the sunnah. They will say you are introducing this and you are introducing that. And you don't know and we know and. Khalas, a time comes where you've heard. Now you turn away. And Allah says in the same Surah At-Tur, فَذَرُهُمْ حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي فِيهِ يُسْعَقُونَ. Leave them until they meet their day in which they will be struck insensibly. We see this in At-Tur. Tayyib. Also, we spoke about yesterday Al-Dhariyat and the style of address and this impeccable rhyming arc in how Allah brings the lessons to us. We see this continue in Surah At-Tur. But Surah At-Tur is, subhanallah, it has this impeccable rhyming arc, but the conversations, the topics that are being discussed are a whole different set. Because Allah in Surah At-Tur with the rhyming arc is dismantling, quote unquote, the rational evidence that was being posited by them. But in this rhythmic way, subhanAllah. For example, Allah says, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ أَمْ هُمُ الْمُسَيْطِرُونَ أَمْ لَهُمْ سُلَّمٌ يَسْتَمِعُونَ فيه فليأت مستمعهم بسلطان مبين أم له البنات ولكم البنون أم تسألهم أجرا فهم من مغرم مثقلون أم نعم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes on in this way with this rhyming arc that is so impeccable that even if you didn't agree or you didn't want to listen, it just draws you in. The tone, the sound. But subhanallah, it's drawing you in and you are listening to something very intellectual. I mean, look what Allah is saying to a people who denied Allah. And they were bringing what they considered rational evidence to prove this. Allah breaks their discussion into pieces in style, if I can use the the language of the Shabab. With this rhythmic arc, Allah says, were they created by nothing? Or were they the creators of themselves? Ask them this question. You exist, right? Did you come from nothing? They will say no. Only a madman will say yes. Because how can nothing give birth to something? If you exist, you are something. Where did you come from? Say, I came from something. What is that something? Did you create yourself? Allah says, Am humul khaliqun. Did you create yourself? Rationally, they will say, no, we didn't create ourselves. أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Did you create the heavens and the earth? They will say, no. Allah says, بَلَّا يُوقِنُونَ. Rather, you are people who are not certain. You are people who are confused. You are people who are misconceived. That if you just focus on the... Put the Quran aside and Muhammad is a soothsayer and a madman and we deny the Quran. Let's just have a rational discussion here. You don't want to accept this is revelation? You prefer to worship your intellect? Let's put the intellect on the table. Intellect versus intellect. You exist, yes? Yes. Where did you come from? Did these idols create you? Did you create yourself? Did you come from nothing? Unanimously, the answer will be no. So Allah is dismantling them rationally, subhanallah, in the Quran. And by the way, these verses are used today in the books written against the atheists. If you Watch any debate between Muslims and atheists. So you read any of the books. Our Sheikh Ja'far Idris, hafidhahullah wa shafa, make dua for him. He's not well. He's very senior and elder. And he was, mashallah, a reference for this. And Allah blessed him with knowledge of the East and the West. And even the senior scholars of Saudi Arabia, they highly respected him and rated him. Hafidhahullah wa shafa. May Allah preserve him and grant him cure. Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Many of you may not know him, and some of you may know him. The previous Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia, who died in 1998 or 1999. Very well respected internationally. It is said when Sheikh Ja'far used to enter his gathering, he used to make Sheikh Ja'far sit next to him. And he has many writings, dealing with the rational emphasis of the quote-unquote, those who say we are the aqlaniyin. We are the people who are rational, the rationalists. And he dismantles them. And once I was with him, and he was saying, I am happy to debate any of these so-called rationalists. And debate them not with the Quran and the Sunnah, just with the mind. Just with the mind. The mind that Allah gave me versus the mind that they say is superior. Because a mind that is pure, cannot go against true, authentic evidence. Because both the mind and the evidence came from Allah. The source is one and one perfect thing. So the evidence is revealed evidence, which is testimony, is there. But if people want to deny it, we're still not stuck. Rationally, we can defeat all these arguments. And we see these same verses from Surah At-Tur being used today. So whenever you listen to a debate and you see it, remember me and this discussion. So we see this in Surah At-Tur. Okay. Then we move on to Surah An-Najm. An-Najm is another Meccan surah, consisting this time of 62 verses. And its connection to At-Tur is that at the end of the last surah, Allah mentions the stars. Allah says, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحْهُ وَإِدْبَارَ النُّجُومِ. Allah says, and in a part of the night, exalt Allah, and after the setting of the stars. Allah mentions the stars. Immediately that surah ends, and Surah An-Najm begins, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى. SubhanAllah. Allah says, exalt your Lord, and after the setting of the stars. This is highlighting the extent of your dhikr and remembrance of Allah. And when does the sun set? When the day is about to break. The sun, meaning the stars, afwan. When do the stars set? When the day is about to break, we see the sun disappearing as the sun comes into daybreak. Immediately Allah starts an-najm, wa najmi idha hawa. Allah takes an oath by those stars. And which stars? The falling stars, or what we call shooting stars, as well as these stars that descend. The descending stars. And you see them as descending because the earth is a globe. It's a sphere. It's spherical in shape. So as it rotates, you perceive the stars to be setting. And this is evidence from the Quran that the earth is spherical in shape. Some people say, where in the Quran does it prove that the earth is a sphere and not flat? I say, brother, you just have to ponder. We didn't see the verse. Where the verse is there, you just didn't ponder. Remember, I gave you a light moment once about وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّي وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدًا. When it's a story, Allahu A'lam, when the scientist said in a class that you Muslims claim that the Quran has all the answers, and he was bold, so he says, where's the answer as to why there's no hair on my head? So the Muslim student pulled this ayah out from the 8th juz. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ, the cultivated land, يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّي, the fruits grow from it with the permission of Allah. وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ, and the rotten one, لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدًا. Nothing comes out from it except nothing. Because the brain is rotten in you, you deny Allah, and this is how you speak about the Quran, that's why. Umuman, subhanAllah, they ask about the earth, what is the evidence that it's spherical? And if you ponder, you see it. Allah takes an oath by the descending stars. What does the descending stars mean? And in Surah Ar-Rahman, فَلَا أُقْسِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ. Allah mentions this oath being taken by the Lord of the East and the West. But in Rahman, the two Easts and the two Wests. In another surah, the Easts in the plural form. And the Wests in the plural form. How many Easts and how many Wests do we have? If you ponder over this, this is talking about the different rising and setting points of the sun throughout the year. Different east because it has different rising points, and different west because it has different setting points. And you can only have different rising and setting points if the earth is what? Flat or spherical? I just need you to ponder, Allah. This is why we mustn't hyperventilate. Allah, people come and start, you know, youth come and say, Allah, Shaykh, I have this problem. You know, the earth is flat, and you know, they say the earth is flat and the earth is spherical in the Quran, and they use verses from the Quran. And I say, brother, why are you hyperventilating? Allah, just seek knowledge. Ask, seek. Wallahi, all the answers are there. Don't have an inferiority complex with your book. If you don't know, tell them, you know what, I'll get back to you. I know it's there, I will find it. Imam al-Shafi'i, when they asked him about the evidence for consensus being a reference to deduce Islamic rulings, he didn't cry and say, Subhanallah, now I'm going to doubt my faith and I'm going to this and that. He said, I'm going to read the Quran. He read the Quran. And he read it and he read it and he read it and he read it until he found it. And he came with the verse. Subhanallah. The verse escapes me and evades me. It was just there and Subhanallah, it left. I saw Brother Ashfaq and the brightness was too much. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. I think we should call you Shafaq, Habibi. Ashfaq, it's too bright, ya akhi. Allah bless you. MashaAllah. Naam. So he found it in the Quran. He didn't sit and cry wolf. He didn't have an inferiority complex with the Quran. He says, well, I'll read it and I will find it. SubhanAllah. Naam. He says, and the verse comes back. وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. I said, I have to close my eyes, Brother Ishfaq. نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ. Allah says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. Look at Imam al-Shafi, how he pulled this out, subhanAllah. He says, Allah says in the Quran, the one who creates difficulties to the messenger, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى, when guidance has come to him in a clear format, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and he follows the way that is different to the way of the consensus of the believers, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ, we will leave him upon his way and throw him in the hellfire in the hereafter. وَسَاءَدْ مَصِيرًا. Imam al-Shafi says, Allah says the way of the believers. This is the evidence that the consensus of the believers is a reference to deduce halal and haram. Allah, now you're taking me to usul al-fiqh. Let's get back to tafsir. So what did we say? We said the connection is the last surah ends with stars, this surah begins with stars. Also in the last surah, there were claims about the Quran being made up. And in the opening of surah Najm, Allah mentions this and responds to it. When we look in this particular surah, Allah mentions, Allah in surah Najm, he mentions this and responds to it. So in the last surah, Allah tells us that this is what they say about the Quran, that it's made up and so on and so forth. Allah deals with it in surah Al-Najm. He responds to it. Also, a third connection. In the last surah, Allah mentions how he will raise families to be with their fellow family members. I didn't share this with you earlier because I shared it with you before. Remember the verse? Allah says that if the parents pass away and the children pass away, both upon iman, if the children are at a higher level, Allah will raise the parents. If the parents are at a higher level, Allah will raise the children. Without Allah reducing the people at the higher level, it won't be a prorata. It won't be a mixture of deeds and then they'll settle upon a median. So Allah says this about the good deeds. That when it comes to good deeds, Allah gives you more. But when it comes to evil and punishment, or meaning, when it comes to rewards for your good deeds, Allah increases for you. But when it comes to punishment for your bad deeds, Allah doesn't increase for you. Allah says, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. In the last surah, Allah taught us how He increases the rewards for good deeds. In this surah, in case you had a question, what about those who do bad deeds? Allah says, if you do bad deeds, you won't get any more except for what you did. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. That mankind will not experience except the fruits of their actions. Meaning, in terms of the bad deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just ultimately. You do bad, that is the level of punishment you will receive. But you do good, Allah will give you more. Subhanallah. What do you think of this, brothers and sisters in Islam? Phenomenal, right? Ina. What's happened to my technical difficulties, guys? The brightness of Ashfaq. MashaAllah. I don't think the computer can see him. MashaAllah. Ashfaq, everybody knows you here. As soon as I said it, they all laughed.
aspires to hack the system.
Huh?
He aspires to hack the system.
He's hacking the system. No, he doesn't hack the system. He loves the tafsir. Rightly, صحيح أشفق. MashaAllah. طيب. So are you seeing these connections between the two surahs? All right, let's take the next one. The virtues of the surah. It is reported that this is the first surah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited openly, and he did this in the haram whilst the Quraysh listened. Now pay attention to this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is openly reciting a surah. And in Bukhari and Muslim, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, and this hadith is authentic, he mentions that it is the first surah, meaning that has the sajda tilawa. You know sajda tilawa? The sujood of prostration. In it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited it openly. And when he got to the sajda, he prostrated, and the Quraysh prostrated as well. And the jinn prostrated as well, as we see in another report, subhanallah. That the jinn prostrated, the idolaters prostrated, the believers prostrated. But then there was one exception. Some narrations say Abu Lahab didn't prostrate. And some say it was Umayyah ibn Khalaf. And some scholars say there's no issue here. They both didn't prostrate. It's just different narrators narrated what they saw or who they saw. Now, imagine what's going on here. Because you have a question in your mind, of course. Why did the disbelievers prostrate? Why did the idolaters prostrate? They hated Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this message. They laid a whole propaganda campaign against him. They began a character assassination towards him. Now he's coming in their territory, by the Kaaba, in their presence, in front of their parliament, and he's reciting openly and loudly Surah An-Najm. This is something that would push them away, not draw them in. So how are they prostrating? My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the power of the Quran. That whilst this was happening, and Allah is revealing these surahs, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reciting these verses, the Quraysh, even though they don't want to, they're trying not to, the words are mesmerizing them. The power of the wording of the Quran is drawing them in. And Allah in the surah is establishing the messenger as the messenger. And he's dismantling the narratives of the Quraysh. And this is happening verse after verse. They're listening to this. All these things we're saying about Muhammad, Allah is establishing him as the messenger. مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. That your sahib, your companion didn't go astray. He is not misguided. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Everything he's saying is not from his desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى. Whatever he says to you is revelation from Allah to him. Nothing is from himself to you. It's all from the heavens and then to you. All this is coming. And then they have their own narrative. Surah An-Najm is breaking them one after the other, one after the other. Just imagine a scene, subhanallah, where you have someone smashing tiles. Have you seen this? Or glass. Smash, smash, smash. This is supposed to anger them. This is supposed to draw them further. This is supposed to distract them. Let me try and set the scene for you. Imagine. Allah is revealing. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى. Have you seen the one who turned away? Referring to those from the Quraysh, including Abu Jahl, who deep down knew that the message is good. See, Allah knows in their hearts, they know. Abu Jahl knew that, you know what Muhammad is saying is something there. But it's the peer pressure of my forefathers, and I'm a senior. And what will the people think? Allah reveals about this. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى وَأَعْطَى قَلِيلًا وَأَكْدَى. And gave a little and then refrained. أَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ فَهُوَ يَرَى. Does he have knowledge of the unseen so he sees? أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى. Or has he not been informed of what the scriptures of Musa said already about Muhammad and the coming of the next messenger? وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي. And of Ibrahim, who fulfilled his obligations towards Allah. And the Quraysh knew about Ibrahim. That no bearer of a burden will bear the burden of another. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. And that there is not for man except the good which he strives for. وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. And that his effort is going to be seen. He will see the fruits of his labor. ثُمَّ يُجْزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى. Then he will be recompensed for it with the fullest of recompense by the Lord of the worlds. وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. And that too, your Lord is your finality. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. And that it is He, Allah, who makes one laugh and makes one cry. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَا. And that it is He, Allah, who causes death and gives life. وَأَنَّهُ خَلَقَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. And that it is Allah who creates two mates, the male and the female. مِن نُطْفَةٍ إِذَا تُمْنَى. From a sperm drop when it is emitted. وَأَنَّ عَلَيْهِ النَّشْأَةَ الْأُخْرَى. And that incumbent upon Allah is the next creation. And that it is He, Allah, who enriches and suffices. And that it is He, Allah, who is the Lord of Sirius. And that He, Allah, destroyed the first people, the people of Ad. And Thamud, and He did not, Allah did not spare any of them. And the people of Nuh before them. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوهُمْ أَظْلَمَ وَأَطْغَى. Indeed, it was they who were even more unjust and oppressing. وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَةَ أَهْوَى. And the overturned towns that Allah hurled down without any presence. فَغَشَّاهَا مَا غَشَّى. And He covered them by that which He covered them with. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكَ تَتَمَارَى. Then which of the favors of your Lord are you in doubt of? هَذَا. This prophet. نَذِيرٌ مِّنَ النُّذُرِ الْأُولَى. This Muhammad who you deny is a warner, just like the former warners that came to the other people. أَزِفَةِ الْآزِفَةِ. The approaching day has approached. Qiyamah is nearer than you think. لَيْسَ لَهَا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ كَاشِفَةٌ. Of it, from those besides Allah, there is no remover. No one is going to remove any of these promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الحديث تعجبون. Now listen, Allah is addressing the Quraysh directly. You want to see why they're prostrated? Imagine after all these hits, precision strikes, one after the other. Allah talks to them directly. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ. Then at these statements, these verses, this revelation, do you wonder and do you think and do you doubt? وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ. And you are laughing instead of crying. وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ. Whilst you are proudly sporting your arrogance. Allah says, فَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَعَبُدُوا. So prostrate to Allah and worship Him. And the Prophet falls down into prostration. And the jinn fall down into prostration. And the Quraysh fall down into prostration. Subhanallah. Imagine the scene. Why wouldn't you when words come like this? Strike after strike after strike after strike. No man before you has written poetry like this. No man before you has come with a speech like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wakes up from the sujood. And he turns around to see the pridolaters all in sujood. Subhanallah. And he says to them, have you believed? And at that moment, the arrogance kicks in and they get up and say, rather we intended our idols when we prostrated. But the rumor broke out in Arabia that the Quraysh have accepted Islam. And at this time, you have a group of the Muslims in Abyssinia. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to send them because they now were being persecuted. Blood was persecuting blood. And the news reaches Abyssinia that Mecca is Muslim. The Quraysh prostrated with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So immediately they pack up excitedly and come back to Mecca. Why? Who wants to leave Mecca for anywhere else on earth? Only to get to the proximity of Mecca and to learn that it's nothing but a rumor. It wasn't true. The event of the prostration was misannounced, most misappropriated. So some of them go back to Al-Najashi in Abyssinia, and some decide to go back in Mecca And those who went back could only go back if they found people from their tribe who would give them patronage, who would say, you will come back into Mecca under my security, that no one will touch you, you are under my care. So this is about this particular surah, subhanallah, Surah An-Najm. Go home, read it. Read it in all its splendor. And read it in, remember I said to you, the Meccan verses are potent in building iman. And wallahi, for a disbeliever, you prostrate. And for a believer, your iman goes through the ceiling, through the roof, subhanallah. So Allah in this surah is dismantling the disbelievers and is establishing the believers. That those who believe, wallahi, the new Muslims, they're only becoming stronger in their faith. That subhanallah, as Allah said, tawalla anhum, forget about their noise. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, focus on the Prophet teaching you and reminding you, there's benefit in reminding and teaching the believers. That is Surah An-Najm. Then we have Surah Al-Qamar. And what will make you understand Surah Al-Qamar? And previously I referenced Surah Al-Qamar for you when I spoke about Surah Saffat. And I said there's some surahs in the Quran, subhanallah, when you read them, you actually breathe lighter knowing that you're a Muslim reading these surahs. That if you were a non-Muslim reading this surah, subhanallah, I cannot imagine the trepidation. And Surah Al-Qamar is one of those. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in 55 verses, in a Meccan revelation, He sends down precision strikes. Precision strikes, subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He affirms Qiyamah as real. And He consolidates the knowledge of the Ummah of what happened to the people before. Allah takes us through, subhanallah, what happened to the people of Nuh and Ad and Thamud, subhanallah, and in verses different to previous verses in the Quran describing what happened to them. Honestly, you have to read it to appreciate it. You have to, subhanallah. And I, wallahi, I'll be honest with you, I become overwhelmed here speaking about this. If I had the energy, I would recite for you the verses. But after Surah An-Najm, I feel dried out, subhanallah. But you yourself read it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with such precision, with such a rhythmic arc, with such eloquence, unmatched, unheard of, unexperienced, never experienced before, delivers this message establishing Qiyamah. Delivers this message establishing the end of those who deny. And then He separates it with four verses. Every story with four verses. These four verses in and of itself establishes the Quran as the solution for all of mankind, for all your problems. Allah hits you with a strike about what He did to the people of Nuh. At the end of eloquently telling us what was the end, He says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ. We made the Quran easy for you to understand. So will you try and understand? All you need is to put your hand up and say, I will try. Remember my statement, be objective in your journey with the Quran. It's the subjectivity that causes you to fail. Then Allah hits you with the next group that came and denied the messenger. And eloquently, in just a handful of verses, what Allah did with them. If you unpack these handful of verses, you have pages of text. And then Allah ends it again. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ. Subhanallah. That we've made the Quran easy for you to understand. Will you not understand? Then He takes you to the next nation that denied their messenger. And with precision and eloquence, Allah tells you in a few lines how He destroyed them. Because they asked to be destroyed. And then He packages it again with the verse, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ. Imagine the Quraysh taking this on. Subhanallah. Then what kind of a heart do you have to travel through these verses with no impact? Subhanallah. And the reality is there is impact, but it's arrogance. Remember A'raf, the obstacle. There is impact. Deep down you know. But it's the arrogance that prevents you from acting. Arrogance is a cancer, subhanallah. It's detrimental. May Allah save us from all forms of cancer, physical and spiritual. And ground cure to those who are experiencing cancer. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. Allah save us from this evil disease, Ya Rabb. And ground cure to those who are experiencing it. And raise their ranks for their patients. Arrogance is a cancer, spiritual cancer. Spiritual cancer. So this is Surah Al-Qamar. And Surah Al-Qamar is connected to An-Najm in that Allah, in Surah Al-Najm, as we said, He establishes Qiyamah, and that Qiyamah is Niyyah. Remember, He said, Azifatil Azifa, that the approaching day has approached. This is an Arabic, it's a stylistic instrument and function in the Arabic language, where you speak about a future event as if it's happened, to confirm that it will happen. So Allah says the approaching day has approached, but Qiyamah is still to come. But you say Qiyamah has come. This is from Balagha, this is from the expressiveness of the Quran. The Arabs would use this. In Surah Al-Qamar, Allah begins at the very first opening verse, اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. The hour has come near and the moon has split. Subhanallah. And there's two explanations about this moon has split. And perhaps the closer one, given that there is a discussion amongst the scholars that the splitting of the moon at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam happened later. Allah is saying the moon has split to teach the Quraysh that the event of the moon splitting is going to come. This is a confirmation. When you speak about something in the past tense, you've confirmed it as something that will happen. And to give glad tidings to the Muslims that Allah is going to give your messenger a miracle that will prove that what you upon, O Muslims, is the haqq and the truth. That remain as steadfast and established. Do not fall prey to the whispers of misguidance and the chaos of misguidance coming out from the other camp. Because the moon will split. And when it happens, you will know that Allah already revealed that it will happen in the Quran that is being read to you. The Quran is ajeeb. اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes at the opening the day of Qiyamah. And remember, the day of Qiyamah was a major theme that the Quraysh would deny. That from them were groups that denied life after death. And Allah tells us in Surah An-Nazi'at and other places, they would say, أَيْذَا كُنَّ عِظَامًا نَخِرًا, meaning what? When we turn to dust, we're going to come be brought back to life? This is a fairy tale. In any case, yesterday we said about Surah Qaf, that it was memorized by some from the Sahaba because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite it when? On the mimbar and also during the day of Eid. Surah Al-Qamar is the other. So he either would recite Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la and hal ataka hadithul ghashiyah, or he would recite Surah Al-Qaf and Surah Al-Qamar. This is FYI, in case you asked this in a future quiz. In any case, we'll stop here. It's 12 o'clock, alhamdulillah. We've completed our hour. I try to maintain the hour in the last 10 nights. I know we were doing 30 minutes, but sometimes, the last 10 I intended to push it for an hour because we have to increase. If the rewards of the night increases, we have to increase. But an hour is a good marker. So instead of 30, we make it 60, alhamdulillah. We'll stop here at Surah Al-Qamar, just in time for Surah Al-Rahman. And that will be tomorrow. Wallahi, Surah Al-Rahman, I can spend a week on Surah Al-Rahman. But we will summarize it in a manner that Allah makes easy. Because Surah Al-Rahman has some amazing linguistic phenomenon going on. Right? Which again is from the evidences of the Quran being miraculous. This is one of the angles of the Quran being... When we say the Quran is miraculous, it's miraculous from many angles. It's not just adopting one instrument that the Arabs consider phenomenal. There's multiple instruments that are phenomenal being implemented. And I'll share it with you now so that you are on the cliff hanging. The phenomenon of duality. We will see this in Surah Al-Rahman. And not just in Surah Al-Rahman, in how it's connected to Surah Al-Qamar. But I'll leave you there, inshallah. Hang and don't fall off. May Allah preserve us in His obedience. I'll see you tomorrow, inshallah. Hada wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.